Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining DiaSorin's fourth quarter 2010 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, operator. Good morning. And welcome to the quarter four conference call for DiaSorin. I will give a usual introduction, and then Andres Enaldi, the Group Chief Financial Officer, will guide you through the numbers for quarter four. Let me start first with comments on revenues and liaison placements. Like for like, the business has grown over 20% compared to quarter four of 2009. And all geographies have contributed to the performance of the group. If we start from Europe, the growth has been almost 13%, which is a stellar growth compared to what other competitors did in 2010 in Europe. In all the countries, we have seen a very strong push of liaison placements driven by two things. On one side, the continued success of the liaison as an instrument for mid-sized hospitals with a very rich infectious disease menu. On the other side, we have filled certain gaps that have been left by Roche after the withdrawal of their vitamin D product, and we were able to capture a certain amount of customers with vitamin D along with other assays that we provide on the in the bone and mineral sector. Latin America, growth of 56.5% with a very strong contribution coming both from the liaison strategy in this area, which is working very well, especially in Brazil, where we were awarded a very large tender for hospitals with the liaison, as well as the fact that, as we have commented in the previous calls, we were finally awarded of a very large ELISA tender in Brazil that we started shipping in quarter three and in quarter four, and now we see the contribution of that. At the same time, in Latin America, in several other geographies where we operate through distribution, the critical mass, which has been reached with approval of liaisons as well as ELISA, has created a very positive momentum on liaison placements throughout all South America. Asia Pacific, 60% growth over last year. Mainly driven by China and Australia. In China, we are close now to 250 liaisons installed. Again, as I said before, the liaison is a perfect system for China, where a multitude of new hospitals have been built and are built continuously every year. The liaison, which was originally designed as a system to fit that market, clearly is providing a very positive answer to the request that we received from distributors in the area. In Australia, the business also is trailing along expectations. We have opened our subsidiary in middle of 2010. We have secured all the major accounts you have seen. In the last month, we have press released the fact that we signed an agreement with Sonic, which is one of the rising stars in the laboratory business. They are based in Australia, and they are acquiring labs throughout the world, including Europe. And we have signed with them a long-term agreement that covers several products, including our vitamin D. And clearly, this is putting the company in position to be able to fend off attacks from competition, and now we're surfacing on vitamin D with Siemens and Abbott having their assays approved in CMR. North America, like for like, at comparable forex, the growth was over 23%, which again is driven by a strong growth of the liaison install base and a continuous demand for vitamin D and infectious disease products. We are continuing to work to extend contracts with all the major U.S. Customers. We have secured over 75% of the business, including our largest customer in the U.S., where we have recently signed an agreement to secure the business for the next 3 to 5 years. In quarter four, we achieved a record placement of Liaison system. Over 190 systems were placed worldwide, of which 70% in Europe and Latin America, where we have benefited from a strong request of ID products, and we have secured several customers who were purchasing vitamin D, as I said, from Roche before. So lots of the Liaisons that were installed in quarter three and quarter four were in countries where we either had a strategy being emerging in fast-growing countries like Latin America or Europe, where our traditional business sits and our infectious disease business is historically very strong. Now, as far as the Liaison XL is concerned, as you know, we have launched the Liaison XL in late November. The soft launch of Liaison XL continues as planned, first in Italy and in Israel, where we have placed the first unit to support very large vitamin D accounts. In fact, the Liaison XL, as I told you before, increases the vitamin D throughput from the current 90 to 175, so is the perfect fit for those large accounts that are using our vitamin D. Let me remind you that we plan to conclude the soft launch by the end of Q1 and start the installation of the XL in Europe in quarter two and in the US from the end of quarter two, beginning of quarter three. As I already commented a few weeks ago, the XL has been approved by the FDA for commercialization in the U.S. We are particularly proud of that. It took only 60 days from the time we have submitted the request to the final approval by the FDA. Now, let me just touch on competition and vitamin D, which I understand is an area of concern of some analysts. I've seen some reports which personally I don't necessarily support or share the view. Some reports came up in the last week or so highlighting risks on vitamin D. Abbott first and Siemens right after have announced the viability of their vitamin D in Europe. It seems from what we see that the strategy is to leverage on their large install base to capture send-outs, maintaining the price at current levels. Our projection for 2011 that will be commented by Andrea in the next section, in this projection we have factored in competition outside the U.S. and we estimate that 50% of the market growth of vitamin D will be now captured by these competitors. For this reason, I do not really understand some of the vitamin D projection that some analysts have put out in the last weeks or so, which apparently were supporting the concept that the company was not able long term from 2011 to 2015 to stand in front of competition for vitamin D. I believe, as I said before, that the Liaison XL and the availability of the Liaison XL to very large customers will allow Diasorin to continue to be competitive on vitamin D. And I also believe that the Liaison XL, along with all the blood screening products, hepatitis C, HIV, and hepatitis B, will allow this company to grow in the next 3 to 5 years, notwithstanding the appearance of competitors on vitamin D. But apparently this fact has been completely discounted in some of the recent reports. Last but not least, let me talk about the integration of the Murex business. We have announced and completed the restructuring of the UK Darfur site. Let me remind you that with the purchase of the Murex business, we acquired two manufacturing sites, one in England and one in South Africa. The one in England under our supervision showed inefficiencies. We have trimmed down employees from 180 people that we inherited from Ebbo to a little bit over 90, which we believe are sufficient to support the business. We continue the transition of the business from Abbott being our distributor to our own direct subsidiaries and distributors, with the exception of some geographies where we may elect to continue to work with Abbott. Let me say that the collaboration with Abbott so far has been very positive, and Abbott has been supporting this transition for the benefit of their customers. In our financials for 2004 and for quarter four, you will see the financial cost of the restructuring, which is in around 4.4 million euro, and we expect to see the benefits from this restructuring right from January 2011. At this point, I would leave the podium to Andrea, and then we'll be ready for the Q&A session.
Thank you, Carlo. Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I think that Carlo has already touched on all the key highlights of the quarter that we summarized on slide number one, so I would invite you to move to slide number two, where the revenues per quarter are pictured. One demand from my side, please bear with me with patience, because there are some factors which are affecting on a one-off basis quarter four that will require some additional explanation. So as you move to slide number two, you can see that the net revenues in the quarter closed 109 million. So up 38% versus the same quarter of the previous year. As Carlo already mentioned, contribution to the growth came from both the Murex acquisition for about 7 percentage points and the uplift of the exchange rates, of the major exchange rates of the group versus the euro. And all in all, the organic growth of the company is about 21% at constant exchange rate. If you now move to the remaining part of the P&L on slide number three, you can see that the gross profit has been growing substantially in line with the revenue development. We moved up, the growth was 37% versus the similar quarter of previous year. A slight dilution on a margin percentage simply due to the consolidation of the Murex business that, as I believe you're aware, has a margin which is slightly below what the average of the DSO in traditional business is. As far as operating expenses is concerned, in the quarter, we spent 37 million, which represent a percentage of our turnover, of our sales, of around 34%, which means that the incidence of the turnover of the structural cost of the company have gone down vis-a-vis the similar quarter of the previous year by more than 3 percentage points, so from 37.3% to 34%. The other operating expenses, which include the one-off restructuring items that were incurred for the restructuring of the Darfur facilities and for the rationalization of the product portfolio, which amount to 4.1 million in the quarter, has affected the EBIT. So as reported, you will see an EBIT margin which is 32.8%. slightly down from previous year, but on a like-for-like basis, so excluding the non-recurring item, you would see an EBIT with a ratio to sales of 36.6%, which means a growth versus the previous year of 53.1%, and an EBITDA of 42.2% versus the margin as reported of 38.5%, which again means a growth of above 50% versus the previous year performance. So all in all, the one-off items account for about 4 percentage points at operational margin level. As you move down the P&L, we have reported net financial expenses in the quarter for 1.5 million. We have accounted for tax in the range of 11 million, and all in all, the net result is 23 million, above, up 43% versus the last quarter of the 2009. Now, again, if you adjust the net result of the quarter for the one-off events that I just mentioned, and if you adjust the similar indicator of quarter four, for the difference in the accounting principle that we use for hedge accounting last year, you will see that the net result has gone up by 57% versus the previous year. Now, if we move to the each individual items in the P&L, and if we start with sales, Clea or Liaison portfolio continue to be the driver of the growth. The technology is up 36% in quarter four 2010 versus quarter four 2009. This is clearly boosted by the exceptional rate of placement that we have incurred in the full year 2010, but also by the continuous boost from vitamin D alongside the rest of the portfolio. The net effect of this is that the chemiluminescence in the quarter accounts for about 71% or more than 71% of the total product portfolio if you exclude Murex, and on a cumulative basis accounts now for just shy of 70%. If you look at the different geographies where the group is present, I think Carlo has already mentioned Europe is growing close to 13%. Very strong growth in the emerging regions like Latin America, up 56% versus previous year, and Asia Pacific up 60%. Whereas North America is continuing its growth rate of above 30%, boosted by a favorable exchange rate effect. If you go into individual geographies, in Europe we have highlighted France and Germany. France is up almost 50% versus previous year. Germany is up double digit, around 16%. North America, on a comparable effects basis, is up 23% versus quarter four of last year. Latin America, we already mentioned, Carl already mentioned the strong result in Mexico and Brazil. There is a favorable FX in both countries, but if you look at constant exchange rate, Mexico is growing close to 20% and Brazil is growing up above 30% versus previous year. Asia Pacific, the strong growth is fueled by the most recent initiatives, the Chinese market, which we addressed as a direct market as of the beginning of 2010, is growing 56% versus previous year. And Australia, where we started our direct operation as of August last year, is significantly providing to the additional growth. Now, as we move to the margins on slide number 8, I already commented of some of the items which are temporarily diluting the profitability and the margins of the company. As we saw before, EBITDA on a comparable basis, so excluding the effect of the non-recurring item of 4.1 million, is moving up from 38.8% in quarter four last year to 42.2% in quarter four of 2010. EBIT is up by more than 3 percentage points from 33 to 36.6, and the net result, taking into account all the exceptional items and net of tax and the difference in accounting for the hedging policies is moving up 57%, almost 3 percentage points as a ratio to turnover, so from 21% to almost 24%. If we now leave the quarter and move to the preliminary results, and if you look at the revenue growth, you have about the closing of the year at 404.5 million versus 304, so up more than 100 million year on year, clearly also thanks to the contribution of Murex, which accounted for more than 20 million in the year. This equates a growth of 33% versus the previous year, slightly inflated by exchange rate for about 4 percentage points, and a slight contribution from Murex as we anticipated. The gross margin is growing again more than proportionally. It went up from 70.2% to 70.5% as a ratio to sales, with a growth of 33.5%. And operational expenses are up in absolute value, but clearly down in as a ratio to sales by more than 2 percentage points. And this is having already discounted the inclusion of the Murex facilities within the consolidation area. Now, other operating expenses for 11.3, again, let me remind you that here is included not only the restructuring cost incurred in quarter four, but also the one-off cost incurred for the due diligence and the assistance to the pre-acquisition, so the pre-closing phase of the Murex business. So all in all, you have one-off events for about 5.7 million. And the net result, again, is up 29% as reported, moving up more than 20 million from the 70 of last year. But if you make, again, comparable the two elements in 2010 and in 2009, and if you remember that in 2009 we had not only the difference in accounting policies, but also a benefit from the tax standpoint. On a like-for-like basis, the net results moved up by almost 50% again. On slide number 11, you have a recap of the effects, so the one-off effects I just mentioned. So the non-recurring items account for about 2 percentage points on the overall performance of the company. So EBITDA on a like-for-like basis is growing 38%. EBIT on a like-for-like basis is growing 41%. And as I just mentioned, the net profit is moving up by 45.5% with a ratio to sales that has achieved on a full-year basis almost more than 23%. If we now move to the major components of the balance sheet, we have closed the year with a net capital employed of 283 million, which means our capital employed has moved up versus previous year by almost 80 million. Clearly, the vast majority of this growth is driven by the consolidation of the Murex assets and the growth of receivables related to the new business. So if you look, we have increased not only tangible and intangible assets, but the net working capital. And this is a consequence of the inclusion and of the inventories that we bought at the time of the acquisition and the receivables which are Murex related. If you look at the financial position of the company, we closed the year with 33 million positive financial position, which compares with last year 11 million, again, positive financial position. And this is influenced by a net cash and cash equivalents at the end of 2010 of 62 million. Now, this has been generated by an operational cash flow, which has been in the range of 24 million in the quarter before capital expenditure of 6 million. Which compares with almost 18 million in the previous year before capex of 6.6. I have to remind you that the positive financial position at the end of December is occurring after the payment for the Murex acquisition of the 45.6 million, which was entirely self-financed by the company. A layout due to the acquisition of the distribution rights from our Australian distributors in the range of $3 million Australian or $3 million US dollar. Having reimbursed 8.5 million of financial loans, having paid out 11 million in dividends, and having raised 8.5 million through a share capital increase, which is servicing the stock option plan that was vested in September of 2010. Last but not least, let me just reinforce what is our expectation for 2011. On the basis of the initial evidence and of our planning, we believe that the company revenues should be expected in 2011 in the range between 465 and 475 million euros on a consolidated basis, which equates to a growth in excess of 15%, with an install base which will increase by more than 600 units in 2011, and a growth of the operational margins which should allow the company to record an EBITDA in the range of 200 million in the full year 2011. Now, this is all I wanted to say on the basis of the presentation. I would now leave the floor to your Q&A. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Ms. Philippa Gardner of Jefferies. Please go ahead, madam.
Oh, thank you. I have a couple of questions, if I could. Firstly, I was wondering if you could tell us what roughly proportion of your revenues in 2010 actually came from vitamin D tests. And then my second question is just on your guidance for the 600 units installed base for 2011. Could you just tell us what your assumptions for within that are for the Liaison XL placements in 2011? Thank you.
Okay. I think that I go back, as far as vitamin D represents roughly 30% of the overall business. And in terms of placements, we decided for 2011 that we are not going to disclose separate numbers for Liaison and Liaison XL, so we are only going to provide one number. Total Liaison installed. And the reason being that, especially at the beginning of this program, we do not intend to provide the competition some add-ups on where the Liaison XL program goes. We may decide then from 2012 going forward then to provide a detail of the install base.
Okay, great, thank you.
The next question is from Romain Zana of Exane. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple of questions, actually. The first one regarding the Murex acquisition. If you can just remind us the operating margin for the full year for this business, or if you can just give us an idea. Secondly, when do you expect to achieve the full takeover of Murex distribution licenses in the different countries? And the second part of my question is regarding vitamin D. Firstly, as regards to Europe, I'm just wondering if it would be fair to assume that the new design vitamin D test that Roche will be launched or is likely to launch in H1 will have only a limited impact if you already placed instrument, as you mentioned, that you probably grab market share following the withdrawal of their tests. And lastly, if I may, if you have experienced any change in prescription habits in the U.S. regarding the vitamin D test following the new recommendation of the Institute of Medicine. Thank you.
Okay, let me take the question on vitamin D and then Andrea will address the rest. When Roche withdrew the current product from the market, they left their customers without a solution for vitamin D. So the majority of customers that transitioned their vitamin D testing from Roche to us signed up agreements that brought to liaison placements, which were for at least 24 months. We refused to place liaisons to customers that were not available to sign up with a supply agreement for less than 24 months as a policy.
Okay.
So the fact that Roche is going to reintroduce their test, I think, will not have an impact, significant material impact on those accounts. The second question has to do with the prescription. The IOM report, funny enough, has generated more positive discussion than drawbacks in vitamin D prescription. Keep in mind that the IOM report is covering the problem of supplementation more than testing.
Yeah.
Okay. And fundamentally is taking a position in terms of supplementation, which says, well, we are going to increase the recommendation, but we are not supporting a level of supplementation that goes up to 1,000 or 2,000 units. Okay. As far as testing is concerned, I think a big debate started, and there have been already some papers which have been published by even members of the IOM report, stating that when it comes to vitamin D, the level of vitamin D that is present in circulation has a lot to do with the body mass, has a lot is age dependent, has a lot to do with metabolism, and therefore testing of vitamin D is necessary in order to understand the regimen for supplementation and the effectiveness of supplementation. So, to make a long story short, in the U.S. We have not seen a slowdown of vitamin D request. We have seen from our existing accounts an increase in volume, and we foresee that in 2011 the vitamin D volume in the U.S. Should increase by 15 to 20%.
Okay, Romain. As we go back to Murex, I think that it would make sense to look at the Murex operating margins excluding the non-recurring expenses that we incurred. And if you do this, you find that 2010 has closed with an EBITDA which is around 17-18% of turnover on a half year, and with the current cost structure, which is exactly in line with what we anticipated and what we communicated just 6 months ago. As far as 2011 is concerned, as you know, it is not our policy to provide precise indication, but let me tell you that the same indicator, so the EBITDA, would be very much in line to what is the average EBITDA of the Asorin, so anywhere between around the 35%.
Okay, just regarding the licenses and the distribution licenses from Abbott.
I'm sorry, yes. With the exception of one geography, we anticipate to have all the distribution contracts under our own control by mid of this year, so by June 2011.
Okay, thank you very much. That's helpful.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, good afternoon to everybody. I come back to the 600 placement target for 2011. Will the share of Excel be so significant that we should expect an impact on revenues per box, or will still be marginal and we can project the usual revenues per box growth rate? That is my first question. The second one is on the, again, on the Excel commercial strategy. Can you just refresh me? I know you probably said already, but can you just refresh me? Is it the only machine on which you sell also HIV and HCV? Do you require higher committed revenues if one takes the Excel instead of the standard liaison? And are you, and when, in case, are you planning a U.S. Launch? Thank you.
Okay. I think that, the first question in terms of revenue per box and the effect of the Liaison Excel, as we have said in the past, we estimated the Liaison Excel to carry more assays than the Liaison. However, if you just do a mathematical calculation, you have an install base of 3,600 systems going to 4,000. And therefore, the Liaison Excel for the next few years will not necessarily mathematically impact the average revenue per box, as you can imagine, because the weight of the Excel vis-à-vis the total install base is clearly small. So you will see the effect going forward, but I think it's going to take 2 to 3 years to see that. Notwithstanding the amount of Excel that we will place next year and the year forward. Regarding the HIV and HCV, there are in fact already two systems which carry the full menu. One is from Abbott and the other one is Architect, which I think is dominating in this field. And the other one is from Siemens that has launched these products not in everywhere but the United States, if I am correct. The launch of the Liaison Excel in the U.S. Is foreseen for end of quarter two, beginning of quarter three of 2011. First placements will be directed to those very large accounts that today are under pressure because of the volume of vitamin D testing. As I said before, the Excel doubles volumes, and so customers will be able to afford the same volume with half the number of machines, which is very helpful for this very large account, and is the reason why we were able to extend contracts with very large U.S. customers for the next 3 to 5 years. Last but not least, as we anticipated, we don't intend to bring HIV or HCV to the U.S. That for us would be a decision to get into a mainstream in the U.S. where we want to stay away from the mainstream, but also it would require to have our manufacturing site in Italy licensed under CBER, and is a burden of cost that we don't think is justifiable for the U.S.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Giacomo Picchetto of Arcos. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Just a couple of trivial questions. The first is on competition. I'm not an expert, but just to have an idea, if you could give us some color on, I guess that you have competition on mostly or most of your products. So just because the fear from the market was the Siemens and Abbott, big players, comes into vitamin D, okay, the game is over, they're going to start to make a big competition. But from my experience or not, knowledge of the SRN, you have competition on the other products, so you are already, let's say, trained to fight against these big players. So if you could give me some color on that point, on the other products. And the second, if you are foreseeing in the next 12, 18 months the potential for further acquisitions, if there is any target interesting for you in the market. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, in fact, you're right. I think that we launched the first Liaison in the beginning of 2000. It was launched, actually, by Big Gulden, and we started commercializing it in 2003. And since then, We have been fighting competition with our products. Vitamin D, even if everybody tends to forget it, in the U.S., since the beginning, we had the big competition of the homebrew, as well as mass spec, to a point that today we enjoy a 50% market share, but the remaining 50% is solidly in the hands of mass spectrometry, which was elected as a technology from laboratories like Quest, which is the single largest lab in the U.S., or Mayo Clinic, which is the, from a clinical and from a technology point of view, is a powerhouse in the U.S. market. So I'm not, we've always said in the past that we thought that what we have done on vitamin D could have been reproduced by others. Some did first, like Roche, but eventually they failed to read what customer wanted. Others are trying, like Abbott and Siemens. But I keep saying that there is a fundamental difference in the positioning of the company. DiaSorin offers to customers a series of products which tend to resolve the issue of those customers with these products that other companies don't offer, including vitamin D. But by the fact that, the weak point of DiaSorin was not necessarily the menu, but was the liaison box per se, because the liaison, notwithstanding the fact that it is a very successful system, was a system that was not designed for very large throughput. And so we offer to our account now the possibility to transition high volumes to the Liaison XL. So we resolved that issue, which honestly was worrying me more than competition appearing on vitamin D. Last but not least, and this is why I got fairly surprised when I saw an analyst recently coming up with comments on the future of the company. Last but not least, I believe that HIV and HCV is an untapped opportunity for a company that I keep saying has a reputation of being an infectious disease company. 70% of our business is non-vitamin D and is in the area of infectious disease. So we will be able, with the Liaison XL, to tap into that, into those accounts, into a market that is over €1 billion and is a rich market, is a growing market, and where we will compete with formidable competitors, but we have a name and a reputation there. So as I keep saying to everybody, if you, as that analyst has pointed out, if you believe that DiaSorin is, as they say, one trick pony, offering just vitamin D, I think that the risk is very high. But personally, as a manager of this company, as a shareholder, I believe that we have wisely invested all the revenues and profits coming from vitamin D in order to create the opportunity with other product lines and with new system to continue to be effective on this market. Let me then comment on your question on acquisitions. Yes, I think that we have a proven track record of a company that can invest the profit generated by the current business to make it stronger. We are clearly looking into different directions. I honestly also believe that some effort should be done in preparation of the launch of our molecular products that, as I anticipated, will happen in 2012. So I think that there is a commitment by the management and by the major shareholders to continue to support M&A activity, which will be done as we did in the past, wisely. So paying the right price for the right assets, and then those buying assets that, as we did with Murex, again, can be integrated within our existing structure and bring value to this organization.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. If I look at your average revenues per machine for 2010, they appear to be slightly lower than in 2009. My assumption that in part reflects the fact you placed so many machines in the second half of the year. How should we be thinking about the evolution of revenue per machine going forward?
Martin, I do believe that if you take into account several factors, including starting the fact that a significant number of machine placements in 2010 were directed to third-party distributors, where, as you know, the revenue per machine is significantly lower. So about, on a like-for-like basis, actually, is about 50% of what is the direct placements. I believe that you are going to see a slight increase in the revenue per box, but certainly nothing comparable to what we have seen in the past. So I believe that for modeling purposes, it is a fair assumption to assume that the revenue per machine will remain fairly in line with what we have reported in 2010, which is around €81,000 per machine.
Okay. In terms of Murex, when you've brought all of the distribution agreements in-house, in what time frame can you start to look to sell Diasorin products directly in markets where you're currently going through third-party distributors in Murex territories? Presumably you'll now have critical mass in some territories that you didn't have in the past.
I think that if you look at the Murex business today, there is 40% of the business is done in South America, and mainly is Brazil, where we are direct, and we are transitioning the licenses to import and sell from Abbott to Diasorin. Part of it is done, part is going to be accomplished in the next few months. And so that business is going to be direct. When it comes to Asia Pacific, there are two geographies there that account for a significant portion of the business. One is Taiwan, and the other one is China. In Taiwan, we operate with Abbott, and through Abbott is a very large account, and there is a common interest in the two parties to continue to operate that way. And in China, we picked up the business, but as you know, for us in China is a distribution business. So we have our own subsidiary in China that is controlling a network of over 20 distributors. Okay, so I would say that at the end of this this integration process, you will see that 50% of the business is going to be probably direct, and the remaining 50% is going to be through and will continue to be through distribution.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Luigi De Bellis of Equitasim. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Two quick questions. The first one, what is the contribution of Murex in 2011 guidance? And the second question is on vitamin D market. What is your market expectation for vitamin D market in Europe for 2011? Thank you.
I will take the one on vitamin D. In Europe, we expect that the market will increase by around 50% next year, because it's fairly still under-penetrated in most geographies, with really few exceptions. However, the way we model, as I said it before, is that half of that growth is going to be captured by the installed base of Siemens and Roche that are going after send-outs. So the net-net growth of the vitamin D business in Europe is going to be around 25% in our opinion in volume.
Okay, as far as Murex is concerned, if you take into account that excluding the initial sale of the inventories to Abbott acting as a distributor, sales in 2010 were around the 20 million over the space of six full months. You can expect to double that number in 2011 with a growth which is around 10%, so around the 22 million on top of the 2010 results.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Patrick Fuchs of RCM. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Fuchs, your line is open, sir.
Thank you. Just a question regarding the profitability of the Murex business. I didn't get that. You mentioned that it was around 17-18% EBITDA, and what is the plan there where to get to the group? I didn't get that. If you could tell me that. And then the second questions are around vitamin D. Just an explanation for me. I mean, this vitamin D testing in the labs, are the liaisons that dedicated machines for vitamin D, or the biggest part of the revenues they're done with vitamin D? Do you have dedicated machines for this testing? Second point is, did the renewal of the contracts, the long-term contracts that you mentioned in the U.S., did it come at a cost in terms of more pricing flexibility from your side? And the last question on that is, I mean, mass spec in the past was discussed to be a method that is homebrew and not FDA cleared and so on. With more competitors entering the U.S. market, probably, would you expect the FDA get more should again look at homebrew methods like mass spec for vitamin D, or is that unaffected? Thanks.
Okay, let me take the vitamin D questions.
Yep.
Let me start from the last, if I remember. Mass spec, I don't think that the situation will change with when it comes to new competition and the way the FDA looks into it. It has to do with the fact that there is a law in the U.S. which has been there for 30 years allowing labs to develop their own homebrew testing. And that is not going to change. What I think is noteworthy is the fact that as you know, there has been a patent on mass spec extraction which has been granted to Mayo Clinic, and Mayo Clinic now is going around asking to mass spec users to pay a royalty which has been estimated to be around $5 to $6 per test. These I don't think will have an impact on current users of mass spec. I think because they made very large investments to buy equipment to do mass spec. I think going forward, though, is going to inhibit some of the hospitals they may have elected to go mass spec to consider that as a viable technology. Now, the second question on vitamin D is renewal of contracts. Yes, as we did comment on previous calls. We already started at the beginning of 2010 to negotiate and extend contracts in the U.S. for on average 3 years, up to 5 years. We have secured a very large portion of our existing U.S. business. However, clearly we had to make certain price concessions in the range of between 5% and 15%, depending on the size of the account. But that clearly, however, was very relevant for us because it put the business solidly in our hands, in light of the fact that we are expecting probably beginning of 2012, somebody else to appear in the U.S. With a vitamin D test. Last question was dedicated systems for vitamin D. I think you need to carve out U.S. from the rest of the world. As we always stated, because of the strategy we followed in the U.S., we do have some very large accounts which have machines, liaison machines dedicated to vitamin D, and these are the accounts that starting from quarter end of quarter two, beginning of quarter three, we will start to convert over to the Liaison XL in Europe the situation is very different. A very small portion of the vitamin D of the Liaison installed base is vitamin D only.
Mm-hmm.
Our business in Europe is mostly spread over many different products and infectious disease.
Okay, going back to Murex, I think what we said about the next year margin evolution is that the EBITDA would be much more aligned with the traditional EBITDA coming from the DiaSorin business. I think we mentioned in the range of 35% versus as a ratio to sales, and this is a consequence of two things. Basically, one is the restructuring that we just performed in the last quarter of the year, and then the leveraging of the existing structure with additional volumes and the growth rate provided by Murex.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Mr. Paolo Mortarotti of Teorema. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a quick question on the comments that the chief exec made on molecular diagnostic with regards to potentially developing throughout 2012. That's it. Thanks.
So the question is, you want me to comment on that?
Just in terms of whether it's what type of, because I think that last time one of the crucial aspects of this was to find manufacturers for machines, and there was a technological aspect of that, and you commented that it was a very tough nut to crack because there was an ingrained issue with business models that were thinking about low volumes, high price, and it needed to change. So what has changed in this respect, either from a technological side or from a marketplace standpoint and so on?
Listen, I think that you gave a very comprehensive answer to your question. I think that the situation did not necessarily change. I think that we are continuing discussion with our supplier. I think that we have decided to decouple the project, so we have a short-term strategy where we are going to launch a smaller system and then a mid-long-term strategy which will include a high-throughput machine. I think that very shortly we are going to announce the fact that we have found an alliance with a very relevant partner as far as the small system is concerned, and this makes me comfortable with a projection of launching the first molecular products starting from mid of next year. Let me remind you that the initial effort will be in the area of infectious disease, and so we will have 6 to 8 products that we will launch in Europe on this platform.
Thank you.
Mr. Rosa, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.